Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This holiday season, choose gifts that feel thoughtful and practical with Omaha Steaks. Whether you're hosting or gifting, they deliver the world's best steak experience, and it makes you look like you planned way ahead. They've got USDA-certified tender steaks, juicy burgers, comfort meals, and tons more. Gifting Omaha Steaks is honestly one of the easiest wins. Everything arrives beautifully packaged, super convenient, and the quality is unbelievable. Their filet mignons are some of the most tender I've ever had. And the variety means you can personalize every gift. Plus, orders placed by 6 p.m. Eastern ship same day. And everything is backed by their 100% guarantee. It's holiday gifting made simple. Save big on gourmet gifts and more holiday favorites with Omaha Steaks. Visit omahasteaks.com for 50% off site-wide during their Sizzle All The Way sale. And for an extra $35 off, use promo code T-Bone at checkout. Terms apply. See site for details. That's omahasteaks.com, code T-Bone.
Now, from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH, this is Sports Daily.
Welcome in, everybody. Happy Thursday to you here on Sports Daily. It's Jake Ballbrock. It's TJ Cleland. We are glad to be with you on this Thursday, getting you ready for, beginning to get you ready for a sports weekend. We've got plenty of fun coming today. Our betting insider, PJ Glasser, will be in. Our K-State insider, Tim Fitzgerald, will be in. We've got Thursday night football to look forward to. It's all brought to you by the Wichita Brewing Company. Now pouring the brand new seasonal Bock Lager. Bock, yeah, cold beer that'll give you a warm feeling. Bock Lager available at all three WBC brew pubs, east near Central and Woodlawn, west at 13th and Tyler, and in historic Delano at Handley. Wichita Brewing Company, pizza and beer made here. We had our big Odyssey holiday party last night. Good time. Appreciate Tommy and his team for putting together a good holiday party. TJ, how you feeling this morning?
I'm good. Bright-eyed and bushy-tailed Jacob. I got to say, we've been reading the Wichita Brewing Company Bock Lager read for about over a week now. I don't think that you've said the middle part of that right the entire time that we've done it.
What's that?
The Bock, yeah. Like every time you say
well,
it,
yeah,
you say, Bock.
I don't want, yeah. I don't want anybody to misunderstand
Bock.
What I'm saying.
Yeah. I think that, yeah.
There's in the read that I was given, there is a, like there are absolute punctuations after
like
the Bock.
Dot dot dot. Yeah.
This Bock question mark. Bock?
Bock?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So okay. I understand.
Well, I guess I'll give you more grace then.
I think I understand what they're going for, but you just got to make sure we're not getting a call from, I don't know, who's in charge of the FCC now. Somebody. Saying we can't do that. We test the limits here a little bit on Sports Daily, but we're just being diligent here. Max Power in there producing for us. He's got your hotline at 869-1240. You can, of course, get in touch with the program. All the variety of ways. You can leave us video comments on X, on YouTube, on Facebook. We appreciate you watching us on 12 News Connected. You could reach out to TJ and I directly on social media if you're watching there. You can also listen to us on the Odyssey app, even from the future, because this thing gets podcasted out whenever you're listening to us. You can send us a voice message through the app. Just click the little microphone and we can get those comments. Max can get those out over the air as well. As we make our way through what feels like a really slow week, to be perfectly honest with you, I think it's more about just how chaotic last week was that it's a little jarring to slow things down this week. We do get some, you know, topics we'll discuss. One of we'll discuss more with Fitz, but we get some Colin Klein contract details, I think, that are interesting. And also in college football coaching news, a tough situation to talk about. Sherrone Moore at Michigan out. An inappropriate relationship, the reason given. And then he was jailed overnight Wednesday on suspicion of assault following the dismissal. Inappropriate relationship with a staff member is what they're claiming. I don't know what's going on, TJ. Like, this is a wild and uncomfortable story, to say the least.
Yeah, definitely. It's uncomfortable, especially for us, with a guy that, you know, is from Derby and we've done so many stories about and everything like that. And, you know, you hope everything's going all right for him and the family and everything, because I believe he's still got a lot of family here in Kansas as well. So hope everything's going okay with that. But now, you know, as sports radio hosts, you know, now it brings up the conversation of the Michigan job. And that's that's one of the big fish. You know, that's a bigger deal than the Penn State job. That's a bigger deal than all those other jobs that we just saw get filled. And now a lot of coaches that just got extended or took other jobs. It's going to be interesting what they do.
Yeah, look, I don't know what's going on with this one. We'll leave, especially since it's somebody that, you know, people have connections. So we'll leave the speculative nature of it. We'll get you the reporting on what's happened, which is what we just did. But, you know, this is one we'll be maybe a little more careful with because it perhaps involves people that locally here that have ties to it. So otherwise, you're right. It is a Michigan job. It is one of the jobs is now open. And again, like, you never know how much this coaching movement trickles around everywhere. You never know, the timing of it could be disruptive to things and all of these things. And, you know, it does, again, for K-State to transition the way they just transitioned between a really good coach to the coach everybody wanted. It's wild. It's wild. Any number of things could have disrupted that from happening the right way for Colin Klein's return. Who knows how the Michigan job search goes? Maybe they hire somebody in the school that person's leaving needs a coach, and then they hire somebody from a level in that school, and then it trickles down, and it's like, okay,
it's a good thing. It's a good thing K-State got Colin Klein this year, because This is one of the craziest carousels that we've seen, I feel like.
Well, listen, jobs like Michigan and LSU and now Ole Miss never really technically came up, but Michigan and LSU coming up in the same cycle, those are two of, I think most people would tell you, the top 10 jobs in college football, if not the top 5 jobs in college football. I don't know. And then of course that means Iowa State has an opening. And then of course that means, you know, K-State's had its opening for different reasons. Like, there have been, Oklahoma State had an opening for the first time forever. This is a crazy cycle. A lot of big time programs looking for coaches. And the longer that stuff happens, the longer more people pay attention to the job Klein has done as a coordinator. Somebody was going to have to give him the first chance as a head coach. Right. Mm-hmm. So the chances of that happening at the higher levels probably not going to, but you know, if it's USF, for example, but if you listen to people that are close to it, like our buddy Wyatt Thompson, Klein was really in the mix for Oklahoma State. Yeah. That would have been a massive jump. You know, that's the kind of jump where you thought maybe only K-State would be willing to go, but clearly that's not the case. So it's like, okay, well, how?
That's what I'm saying. Point, like between Iowa State opening and K-State opening and Oklahoma State, like he could have gone to any Big 12 school that was out there, basically. So
it would have been a leap of faith to mm-hmm. go to, you know, to hire somebody that had never been a head coach before. And K-State, obviously, in the best position to take that leap of faith, makes the most sense, right, as a Power Four to take that leap of faith. And they did. We'll see what happens with the Michigan job. That is a strange situation that we'll just try to, you know, keep to some pretty black and white, cut and dry reporting on. But the search for a Michigan coach is a topic that becomes a little more interesting. I've seen TJ, I've seen Kalen DeBoer's name thrown around.
I know. A lot. I don't understand why. Like, a lot of national talking heads are talking about Kalen DeBoer. A lot of Michigan people are saying, let's empty the bank account and go get Kurt Cignetti, because they are under the impression now of saying, we didn't fire a coach. We just saved a bunch of buyout money, or we didn't, you know, fire a coach without cause. So we have a lot of buyout money sitting here. Like, let's go make somebody the richest coach in college football history.
I think Cignetti, I get the impression Cignetti wouldn't do that.
I agree.
I mean, you never know, but if you're Kurt Cignetti, and I always wonder this with coaches, but let's hold that because we got to take a break. Let's hold that. Initial thoughts on the Michigan job. So we'll have that for you. We've got a fun show coming up today. Lots of guests, lots of fun. Your calls and comments. It's Albrock and Cleland. It's a Monday. It's Sports Daily. And we're coming right back.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. It's about getting the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. And to find candidates who match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. Stop struggling to get your job post even seen on other sites. Give your job the best chance to be seen with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. They help you stand out and hire quality candidates who can drive the results you need. Sponsored Jobs boost your post for quality candidates, so you can reach the exact people you want faster. Join the 1.6 million companies that sponsor their jobs with Indeed. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help get your job the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
This holiday season, choose gifts that feel thoughtful and practical with Omaha Steaks. Whether you're hosting or gifting, they deliver the world's best steak experience, and it makes you look like you planned way ahead. They've got USDA certified tender steaks, juicy burgers, comfort meals, and tons more. Gifting Omaha Steaks is honestly one of the easiest wins. Everything arrives beautifully packaged, super convenient, and the quality is unbelievable. Their filet mignons are some of the most tender I've ever had. And the variety means you can personalize every gift. Plus, orders placed by 6 p.m. Eastern ship same day. And everything is backed by their 100% guarantee. It's holiday gifting made simple. Save big on gourmet gifts and more holiday favorites with Omaha Steaks. Visit omahasteaks.com for 50% off site-wide during their Sizzle All The Way sale. And for an extra $35 off, use promo code T-BONE at checkout. Terms apply. See site for details. That's omahasteaks.com, code T-BONE.
It's time to get back to the sports talk.
All right, let's do this thing. Go!
Sports Daily is on KFH.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back in to Sports Daily here on KFH. TJ Cleland, Jacob Albrock in with you. We're talking about this Michigan coaching story, about where they go from here, as it's probably top five job in college football. Where would you put that one? I mean, Alabama's up there. LSU's up there.
Bama's up there now.
That's the second best job in the Big Ten.
So I'd say Ohio State and Michigan are in there. A lot of people have always wanted to say USC. I don't know that I think it is anymore. So I'd say Ohio State and Michigan. I'd say Alabama and LSU. Oklahoma and Texas. So that's six. So I, you know, yeah, it'd be, I mean, it's for sure it's probably, in the top 10. It's Notre Dame, like, and Notre Dame's probably up there. So yeah, you're talking top 10 unequivocally, right? Wherever you want to put it inside that, it might be higher. It might be right up there in that very, very, very top. I think it kind of wanes, you know, you just for a long time it was, and then it was, but they certainly think that they are. Right, so they're going to go all in now, looking for it. I think that, you know, the problem for Michigan is Harbaugh and the sign stealing stuff, and then Sherrone Moore takes over, and now this, you know, situation that they're dealing with. They kind of have that piece to think about too, like how do they sort of stabilize the controversy, the scandal piece of this. So you've got to think of it that way too. Cignetti would be everybody's top choice. The question at that point becomes, what would it take to pull Cignetti away from Indiana? And I asked that to, you know, like, why would he go now? I wonder this all the time with these coaches who have elevated a program. Now we saw, like, you know, for instance, Kalen DeBoer, who had been doing a wonderful job at Washington, got raises, did all that stuff, and then Alabama ultimately lures him away. It happens. But you also see guys stick it out, right? Like, some of these jobs that have become the top jobs weren't the top jobs before somebody made them the top jobs. Is Indiana capable of that? Back-to-back years, they've certainly been on a run to make you think, maybe.
It's the thing about Cignetti, though, that everybody keeps talking about is the fact of, like, he can, if they go and lose in the semifinals this year, people are still going to be enthralled. Like,
oh, 100%.
At Michigan, if you're the number one team in the country and you lose in the semifinals, people will be upset. Like, that's the difference. And I think that he knows that, like, he's in a position now. I mean, Indiana was, like, the worst power college football team in the country. Like, anything that he does at this point is just gravy. Like, he could never win a title at Indiana, and he could work there until they take him away in a casket and they'll build a statue of him. Like, and that's what's going to happen. And so it's like, what is important to you? Like, Michigan's going to pay you, buy you a yacht, but you could have anything you want in Indiana, basically, especially now in this day and age.
So I'm just looking at the top paid coaches. Cignetti just got a raise to $8 million. Kirby Smart's the highest at 13, a little over 13. Ryan Day is at 12.5. Lane Kiffin is at 13 in his new deal. Dabo is above 10. Dan Lanning at Oregon is above 10. Texas. So, I mean, Michigan's going to have to give it a raise, which, so if you look at the 8 that Cignetti just got, that's, you know, that probably took everything Indiana had to get up there. Deion Sanders is making 10, by the way. So Michigan could pay him. I mean, if you're Michigan and you really want him, you start with what Ryan Day is making at Ohio State. That's where you start. Has Cignetti done enough to become one of the highest? Because most of those guys have those contracts because they've gone on to do things like win national championships. Cignetti has had two unbelievable years at Indiana. I think one of them, like, this year's team is totally legit. Last year's team, I think, was the beneficiary of a really nice schedule, if we're being honest. So are you willing, if you're Michigan, to come in right out of the gates and pay that guy basically top money? Because that's probably what it would take. He's already at 8.
By the way, your article is outdated. His extension now gets him to 11.6.
Cignetti's?
Yes. The one that he got this year. Do what?
Cignetti got up to 11.6?
Yes. When he got extended because of the Penn State job. I was going to say, I thought he was one of the top coaches in college football. Yeah, he's at 11.
Oh, I stand corrected. I thought he just got the one up to 8, so he got another one then. Mm-hmm. Wow. Okay. Well, then you're really going to have a conversation.
I mean, they're going to, if Michigan wants him, they're going to have to pay him like $15 million, I think. Like, that's how unreal this is going to have to be. And Michigan's crazy enough to do it.
You know what? My math is just stupid. We're talking about the same extension. Yeah. This was the one in October. I just had bad math. I'm an idiot. 8 years, $93 million. I don't know, man. Are you willing to do that if you're Michigan? That much guarantee might make him the highest paid coach in college football?
I mean, the thing is, though, if you don't, like, who are you going to get that is going to move the needle enough to, like, because they're based, like, they will not make a move that's not, they're going to pay somebody at least $10 million. I guarantee that.
Sure. That's
so
fine,
who's it going to be?
Like, that's what I'm saying. Is that, like, okay, so then back to the other side, if you're Cignetti, are you really wanting to go to a place where winning 10 games a year might not be enough?
I mean, how much do you want, you know, $15 million a year?
Versus 11? Yeah, that's eye of the beholder, right? Eye of the beholder. How much does job security mean? How much does building it yourself mean? The problem that Michigan has right now with Cignetti is they can't make the case, we'll give you a better chance to win a national championship, which is usually the allure for most of these guys. They will have more resources than Indiana, probably. But if you're Cignetti, if I'm Cignetti, if, like, I always think about it, like, what would I do? one, building it myself seems cooler than just walking into Michigan.
I agree.
So I would have that in my head. He seems, in the things that you hear, wired that way a little bit.
Yeah.
I also think there is the part, and I bring this up all the time on these deals. Like, there's the part where the expectations are so different. Like, I think about guys like Mike Gundy. I think about guys like Bill Snyder. You know, the guys that are somewhere for a long time, they're there for a long time for a reason. Not because they didn't have better offers over the years. Look at Chris Klieman at K-State. Chris Klieman probably could have made more money somewhere else, right? Maybe you could make a case, could have had a better opportunity to win a natty somewhere else. But in a lot of cases, he chose to stay right where he was. And I think I'm wired more that way. And I think it's probably, I don't know if it's 50-50 for guys that are this competitive and everything else. But if you're Michigan and you're going to try to pull away a conference peer, you at minimum have to convince them that you got a better chance to win a national championship. Can you really make that case right now? I mean, you could say we'll give you just as good a chance, probably. But he's got the number one team in the country at Indiana, and they've lost two games in 2 years.
I agree. I mean, it's not like – I don't know. It's not the – I don't know if there is a job right now, honestly. Is there one that you could say we are going to be better than you are?
Like, Alabama. Georgia.
That might be it.
Maybe LSU.
I know. They haven't.
Yeah, it's not. It's got to be an SEC school that, you know, that's about it. That's about it. Michigan has the resources, I think, that a lot of them have, but they don't have the geography. So that, you know, that you're in the Big Ten, right? You're recruiting kids to come play in cold weather versus perfect weather during football season. I just, there's not many. But you also have to remember Alabama wasn't that until Nick Saban got there, right? They had their long history, but they went through a lot of lean years too, just like Michigan has.
I mean, they're not switching, talking
Bo Schembechler anymore.
Switching to the other candidate, why does everybody think Kalen DeBoer can get lured to that job? Why would
probably
you
because he feels some heat at Alabama. Alabama fans don't think Kalen DeBoer's done a good enough job winning 9 and 10 games the last 2 years, which is silly. Right. It's silly. But that's the reason if you're Cignetti, you're looking at stuff like that. And you're like, do I really want to go deal with that?
No.
Think about how often Michigan fans were questioning whether Jim Harbaugh should be the coach because maybe he didn't beat Ohio State that year. And I'm like, real conversations about whether Jim Harbaugh should be the guy there. I mean, it's crazy. But that's the kind of thing you deal with when you go to a place like Michigan. He was incredible at Michigan.
Yep.
Ultimately, he ended up winning his national championship and all of those things. But, I mean, come on now. Like, to ever think that he was questioned there, but he was. And he had an unbelievable run at Michigan. But those years, there was a group of years. Remember, what did he go? He won 10 games, 3 out of his first 4 years, and people were wondering if he was the right guy. And then ultimately, at the very end, he took that next step. But that's the kind of expectation you're dealing with in Michigan. 10 wins, is it enough? You're at Indiana, 10 wins, they build you a statue. And they found the money to pay you? The one thing Indiana won't be able to compete with in Michigan, probably, our resources, but he's showing you right now he doesn't need all of it to be successful. I think here's the other side of it, though. Have you caught lightning in a bottle right now at Indiana that's not sustainable? I mean, the thing about that part of it is he's gotten paid, though. So so what, right? If you have, the risk is low because you already got your contract.
Mm-hmm.
That's possible, though. I mean, it's very possible that they've caught lightning in a bottle and they'll come crashing down to earth soon. I mean, I would say the chances of that are at least decent.
I mean, the fact is, I mean, there's truth to that. But in today's college football, like, he took over a team that was terrible and they were good immediately. Like, people, there's been this discourse. Totally. This is a whole other conversation that we can get into if you want. Reese Davis on the selection show last week said that, I'm sorry, Bill Snyder in Kansas State, but Kurt Cignetti currently holds the title for the greatest turnaround in college football history.
That was a stupid thing to say.
And everybody says, Bill Snyder didn't have a transfer portal to do this in a year. It took Bill Snyder a decade. Like that, but that's the reality. Like, you can do it in a year. Like, even if they have a bad year, they can just go do it again in the portal next year.
Like, they were about to get relegated. Like, there's no, this is not the same thing to go to the Big Ten and have an immediate turnaround. That was a dumb thing to say, and it's caught up in the moment and whatever. He's very good at his job, and I say dumb things all the time. I don't know. I do think the Michigan job is one of those jobs, but I don't think it's the job, it's the shoe-in, we'll get whoever we want job that fans of Michigan seem to think it is, though. And I think you better have a better backup plan, because I don't know if I'm Cignetti if I'm taking that job. If your list starts with Cignetti and DeBoer, you better have a backup plan. Because how much better is the Michigan job than the Penn State job? Honestly.
I mean, it is.
But not by the margin. I mean, Penn State historically has had, you know, more recent success, I'd say. And then, of course, they had their scandal. But, you know, James Franklin, could just compare the two programs for the last 5-10 years. Yep. They're pretty close. Look at how they had to struggle to find their coach.
I know. That's what makes it so interesting.
We want you to come to this place where it's cold and the expectations are out of control. And like, what are you going to do? Is there a guy in the NFL somewhere that has taught, you know, they like their Michigan men. They like a Michigan man is what they'll say. Who are those guys? Is that why? I mean, I don't even know. Did Kalen DeBoer spend some time at Michigan along the way? No, I don't think so. It's gotta be more than those two guys, right?
Oh, there's gonna be a bunch. I've seen a couple of, you know, lists and everything.
How about Marcus Freeman, right? Yeah. Is Marcus Freeman leaving Notre Dame for Michigan? Marcus Freeman's killing it at Notre Dame. Killing it. And they get to play a cake schedule every year. Michigan gets to play a cake schedule, but they still have to play Ohio State every year. So I don't know, man. Like, the list of names right now, and then I see Lincoln Riley on there. Oh, PJ Flex on there.
Nice.
That'd be wild.
Here you go. Here's a short list from ESPN. This is what they've got. Kalen DeBoer's top of the list. Chargers defensive coordinator Jesse Minter. He was on the staff with Harbaugh and followed him there.
Okay.
Jed Fish, the Washington coach, the one that left Arizona to go to Washington. Duke coach Manny Diaz.
That'd be an interesting one. Okay.
And Browns offensive coordinator Tommy Reese.
Okay. I'm also seeing Brian Kelly, oddly, which is probably a name to watch.
Gosh, that'd be crazy.
Lincoln Riley is a name I'm seeing that wouldn't make a lot of sense to me. I mean, he only left Oklahoma, I'm pretty sure, to go to sunny California. I don't think he's itching to come to Michigan.
Would you hire Brian Kelly?
No.
You think he's going to coach somewhere this year?
The problem with Brian Kelly has been all the behind the scenes stuff that has come out about character.
Yeah.
I don't think he's made a lot of friends. I think he's an unbelievable coach, and I think he's pissed a lot of people off. And I think there's an arrogance there that is now following him, that after the Harbaugh, you know, sideline thing, and now whatever is going on with Sherrone Moore, I don't know if that's the way Michigan's going to go. Michigan is a high character place. They're kind of like Texas, I think, in that, you know, like Texas, and it's cost Texas, and they cost them Chris Beard, right? Like, if Texas keeps they keep a pretty high standard for behavior and stuff. And I think they probably do it in Michigan too. Yeah. So that'd be the only thing. Cause I think Brian Kelly's a good coach. You know, he'll probably end up, I don't know, where will Brian Kelly end up?
Do you think he's going to coach in 2026?
No. And I think he'll probably coach in 2027 because people will be like, you know what, to hell with all that other stuff. He wins games. Let's get him in here.
I agree.
Like, he makes sense to go, I don't know, coach at Florida or something. Like, an SEC school that's just desperate to get back to relevance. That's what screams Brian or Big Ten, right? Like who's a mid-level, I don't know, Michigan State, if that job came open or something like that. He does have ties to that region. Grand Valley State is where he cut his teeth and mm-hmm. kind of in Central Michigan. So he's a name to watch for sure. Like if they go through the whole process and they can't get anybody and they're getting the Penn State treatment and they land on Brian Kelly, they'll win games. They could have done worse. So that it's certainly, I think, as far as like names to watch, a name to watch. But yeah, if you're Michigan, shoot your shot. Go talk to Cignetti. Go talk to Marcus Freeman. Go talk to Caitlin.
Do you think we're going to see a new wave of extensions?
Because
everybody's already gotten extended.
When did Freeman get his last one? Last year, I think.
Yeah, he did. He wasn't a part of this cycle, yeah.
He could get one. No, probably not. Probably not. We are transitioned to the high school basketball season. I was talking to the great Ted Woodward at the holiday party last night. Former great area high school basketball player, TJ Williams. Boy, I'm really like in on expanding his role for the Shockers offensively. I think early it was obvious, right? Kenyon Giles can fill it up. The problem when you have like shooters like Kenyon Giles leading the way on that, they have to keep shooting, and when they're not falling, you can really struggle offensively. I wonder if we start to see more of a, you know, more of a attack the basket. Like, could you expand the role for TJ Williams, who's become really good at getting to the free throw line, and utilize that as a way to start some offense, and then let Giles get some open shots? I think leaning into TJ Williams is the coolest thing that could have happened for us, for the Shockers. Maybe the coaches really did see this from him. We just hadn't known that based on playing time in his young career so far, but man, has he looked good so far. We've got you. We've lost your mic, TJ. There's a couple of things, like for me, when I see TJ Williams play that I don't think I saw in high school. We'll check that, TJ. Cleland.
There we go.
Yeah, we got you.
Yeah.
There's a couple of things for me. Like, I don't recall, because that was his time at Heights was sort of my end of covering it every week.
Mm-hmm.
He is really like grown into his body. So like as a physical presence, he's more imposing than he was in high school, which is to be expected, right? But the style of play in which he's using it is one where I'm like, whoa, where did this come from? Like, he is banging people down there.
He was basically, whenever you watched him in high school, you kind of like, because he's never been a shooter. You know, he doesn't really have an outside shot. And he has, you know, a usable one, but it's not what he does well. He does well at getting to the rim and, you know, being stronger than guys and being more athletic than guys, basically. And in high school, that especially worked. But watching him play, you're like, this, like, he looks like Xavier Bell, you know? Like, he looks like a 6'6", 6'5" Xavier Bell. And that was something that, you know, I talked to Joe Auer about, and he watched him play last year. And, you know, I talked to Joe Auer about that last year, and he's like, I mean, I don't know what it's going to look like. He's like, you watch him play, though, and I see Xavier Bell scoring 30 points and being a first-team selection. Like, TJ is a bigger Xavier Bell. Like, if that works, he can do that. And sure enough, here we are a year later, and he's doing that, basically. So I agree. I think that there is a role for him to play like that. And it's you know, it's true that the difference is that could be a good thing if they lean into this is the fact that Xavier Bell did it, and they didn't really have anybody that could hit a three. Like, Shockers have that.
Well, they have lots of it, I think. Lots more of it, anyway, you know, with two or three guys that seem like they can. But Bell became everything to that offense, and that's a really interesting comp because, yeah, TJ Williams is just bigger, right, than Bell was. So maybe he's probably not also as, I don't know, comfortable with the ball in his hand yet, but he could be, right? Bell became really comfortable. It was his left side with Bell, right? Just always to the left, and they couldn't stop it. I don't know that we're going to see TJ at the top of the key doing that, but finding a way to, you know, to get him in motion and get him headed toward the basket, he's hard to stop once he gets going there. And it's the affinity, and Bell did this too, the affinity to get to the line, you know, to draw the contact and do those things. So, you know, quick shout out to the local high school sports scene. Who's the next TJ Williams? You'll find out with TJ Cleland on Catch a Kansas every Friday night as the show, the high school show shifts to basketball season. Yeah,
starts tomorrow. That's what I've been talking about, is that, you know, I'm trying to rack my brain. There's a lot of guys that graduated that were the studs last year. I got to, you know, start digging into the weeds and finding out who the next studs are.
They're coming. They always are. all right. Let's football weekend. It doesn't have the same zip to it. Not because, you know, our college football has been a little waning as K-State and KU are slogging through the middle part of their season. I think, TJ, it's just because, like, I think most people have written off the Chiefs. So maybe it feels a little bit, you know, a little bit, but I don't know. Like, this has been a wild NFL season. I'm ready for it. I'm ready to get PJ Glasser in here. We've got Falcons. We've got Buccaneers tonight, two teams. I don't know how much of either of these teams you've watched. The Bucs have kind of fallen hard here, but their division sucks, so they're still okay a little bit. The Falcons and Kirk Cousins. God, we're gonna have Kirk Cousins and Aaron Rodgers and Phillip Rivers starting games this weekend. Matt Stafford is going to be starting a game this year. I heard this. Oh, where did I hear this? I don't remember where I heard it, but there's kind of this notion that as we see Phillip Rivers come back, like, is quarterback play kind of not good right now?
I saw this conversation is the fact of, like, what does it say about the state of quarterbacks that the college development has waned away so much that it's better to go pick up a 44-year-old quarterback because defenses have continued to evolve. But it seems like quarterback development maybe hasn't. And I think that it's turned more into, you know, who's the best athlete, basically. There's not a lot of, like, you know, there's still pocket passers that make big time throws, but, like, there's not really the guys coming out of college that are the, you know, mental nerds to sit there and think about through all this stuff and everything like that. There's a lot more. It's just a different position than it used to be, I think.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if I agree with the overall sentiment, because I think you could pluck Mahomes, Allen, Burrow, Lamar of the younger. I mean, I'm not including these older guys we were just talking about because they were part of the last generation. I think you pluck those guys anywhere, and they're Hall of Fame trajectory type players. So, you know, to me, it still starts with those guys. But I think we're seeing, I still think, look, Jaden Daniels, Justin Herbert, and CJ Stroud in sort of like a back-to-back progression, and now Drake May, have had some of the better rookie seasons we've seen. But it's like they come on hard, and then it just takes longer to maintain the success. Right, we're not seeing any of these guys do what Mahomes did, or I mean, Josh Allen took just a little bit longer, or maybe Joe Burrow did, right? Where they've just come in, and Joe Burrow's been hurt so much, it's a little harder. But I don't know if I think overall the position is weaker. I've watched a lot of bad. I'm a Cowboys fan. After Aikman and before Romo, we watched a lot of really bad quarterbacks play the position. I just don't know how different it is now. Is, like, the position overall down? I don't know that I think it is. I just think we've had a couple of classes. This year that aren't very good.
I will say this. I think that maybe not quarterbacks being down, but offenses are not as evolving as defenses.
Correct. Defenses, and offenses are still trying to make the adjustment from – and to me, it happened when the Bucs beat the Chiefs in the Super Bowl. That's when the defenses changed what they were doing, which we saw that next season, everybody doing it. And it has, I agree with you, it has taken offenses longer to get back to. And I think for a lot of people, it looks kind of like what the Chiefs have tried to do, right? If you're going to take it away over the top, we're going to beat you underneath. And it does. It takes a little while to adjust to that. It takes a mountain of patience to adjust to it. But we're watching Matt Stafford carve up the league. I mean, I think quarterback's doing okay. I think it's the same as always. There's probably half the league has a decent one, a third of the league has a great one, and half of the league is still wondering who their quarterback long term is going to be.
There's a lot of bad football this year, I think, is the biggest thing. Like the last 2 years, there's been a lot of teams that are just like, man, they aren't good. And this year, I think that there's a lot of that, and then a lot of like, we don't know who's good, but you aren't bad. That's what the league is divided into right now.
There's not that, you know, like New England has a case. I don't think Denver has a case, but their record is 11-2. You've certainly got the Rams right now. You have to say Seattle. If you want to say Green Bay, okay. But yeah, there's like the truly elite teams. It's more open. But how many really, honestly, genuinely awful teams do we have right now? You've got Tennessee. You've got Vegas. I suppose you could put New Orleans there, although they've shown a little life here lately from time to time. I don't know that there's a ton of them, right? Do you really think Arizona is awful? I know they're 3-10, but I don't think they're awful.
I don't think they're good.
No, I'm not saying they're good. I'm saying like truly awful, like absolutely a terrible.
Basically, maybe my
Jets,
criteria.
The Jets are probably in that conversation.
Yeah. If you've got double-digit losses right now, you're in my pretty, really bad category. Cardinals, Saints, Jets, Browns, Titans, Raiders are all bad, bad.
Let's go see some of the biggest lines in football. We can ask TJ Glasser this question. Yeah, the Cardinals on the road, 9.5-point dogs. The Browns on the road in Chicago, just 7.5, although to be fair, that's supposed to be like a 10-degree weather game. You got the Raiders as double-digit dogs, the Jets as double-digit dogs. If you're ever a double-digit dog in this league, you're probably pretty bad. Oh my goodness, TJ, the Colts are 13.5-point dogs at Seattle.
Wow.
Wow. 13.5? We got to ask Glasser about that. The Phillip Rivers game. We're all going to call it the Phillip Rivers game. It's the Jonathan Taylor game. Can Jonathan Taylor and that offensive line keep him with 13.5 points? Woo. I had not looked at these yet. Holy smokes, that's crazy. Wow, what a time over a short period of time. How far have the Colts fallen? Goodness gracious. Yeah, I don't know. I think quarterback's okay. I think quarterback's doing okay. The question becomes, like, these elite guys, do any of them feel like who's the MVP in football right now? Matt Stafford?
Drake May?
Yeah, maybe.
I don't know.
Yeah, it was tough to have a late year bye, I think, for Drake May. Those are the two odds on favorite right now, and they are pretty heavy odds on favorite. Jordan Love, Josh Allen, Dak Prescott, Bo Nix. I wouldn't count out Josh Allen. You've got where's Jackson Smith and Jigba? 100-1. I put something at like 500-1 on him earlier in the year. It's so stupid too, because he's such a heavy favorite to be the offensive player of the year, right? And he's like the 9th best odds on favorite to win the MVP. But all the MVP candidates are offensive players. Why don't we just call it the quarterback of the year? What are we doing? It drives me absolutely. Like, how does that even make sense? How do you have a different list of offensive player of the year and MVP, and all the MVP candidates are offensive players? How does that even work?
I agree. Same thing as the Heisman. Eligible, Heisman is 3 quarterbacks and a running back, and it's always been that way. Like,
and it should be Jacob Rodriguez. We haven't even talked a lot about that. God, that makes me mad. How do you watch college football and not think he's one of the best players that you've seen? That dude is incredible in every game. Every game. Defensive players don't disrupt games like that very often anymore. Man, he is everywhere disrupting everything. To not even get an invite? Well, let's talk about that on the other side. That slipped through the cracks on us because of the chaos of the week. All right, welcome back in, everybody. It's Jake Balbrock. It's TJ Cleland at Sports Daily. We're glad to be here with you. If you thought one noodle was good, meet Double Noodle, This 5-year-old, 62-pound queen of sniffing is here to prove that more noodle is always the right amount. She came in as a stray and unfortunately had her ears cropped before arriving at the Kansas Humane Society. She's not let that dim her spirit. She shows strong signs of potty training, loves exploring, and treats every walk like a full detective mission. She'll sit with you, then head right back on sniff patrol. It's her passion. Double Noodle is sweet, curious, ready for a home that lets her be silly, snuggly self. You can visit her at KHS or call to place a hold if you want to help pets like Double Noodle. Kansas Humane Society has a list of items they use every day. The full list is on our website, kfhradio.com. This is the 12 Strays of Christmas, supported by 316 Pet Supplies in XY in downtown Wichita. We come back here, TJ. This is a good hour of the show. We have PJ Glasser in. We have Tim Fitzgerald in. So plenty going on there. We will have this Heisman discussion real quick here in this first segment, first quick segment. We haven't had a chance to talk about it yet. So we'll do that. It's all on tap, brought to you by the Wichita Brewing Company. Groups gather for holiday fun while everyone's in town. Make WBC your unofficial high school or college alumni meetup spot. More than 15 different beers, a Christmas cocktail list, pizzas everyone will love. Make Wichita Brewing Company the place where groups gather for the holiday season. TJ, the Heisman this year. It's not a strong class.
I'm just going to give you the floor. All of you. Do your thing.
Well, it's not the floor. Look, because I have questions here, right? So Fernando Mendoza, great story, great player, fine. Okay, he's the heavy odds-on favorite this year. We're looking at 2,900 yards right now, 2,980, 33 touchdowns, and 6 interceptions. The year Jaden Daniels won it in 23, it was 3,800 yards, 40 touchdowns, 4 interceptions, plus what he did on the ground. Caleb Williams in 22, 4,000 yards, 47 total touchdowns. Okay, it's not some of the Heisman numbers, like some of these guys, Pavia's put up some good numbers, but saying like, it's not like they're overwhelming us statistically, right? And then you go look at what Jacob Rodriguez has done, who won the Nagurski, but if you put it up, go put it up side by side to Manti Te'o's year when he got to the Heisman table, because it's just as good or better. Led the nation in forced fumbles, also had 4 interceptions, led the Big 12 in total tackles, has defensive touchdowns, has rushed for a couple of touchdowns this year, 11 tackles for loss, 6 passes defended. Like by every metric, He's PFFs. If you go into the analytics, he's got the best run defense grade in the country right now. We don't get impactful defensive players like this every year. And he has been unbelievable. And they're the number 4 team in the country. So you can't say I get why Mendoza's up there. Indiana's the top team. That's fine. I'm fine if he wins it. But Tech's right there with them. And we're getting like this unbelievable statistical season from this dude who's doing incredible things on that side of the ball. And he's not even getting an invite to the ceremony? Come on.
I agree. I mean, I'm with you. I don't know why. I don't understand it. It's definitely just the fact that it's, got to get the quarterbacks in there. But like, I agree. I don't think that Saiyan did anything to deserve a spot in there more than, Pavia has got an okay stat line, but, whatever you want to say. I have no input on this at all.
Like, Pavia has got a fine stat line, but it's not so overwhelming that it needs to put him in for a team that's not even in the playoff, right? Yeah. Like, neat story. Again, good story. What's the quarterback award in college? The Johnny Unitas. Like, if you want, okay, fine. If you want to give him that, because his stats are good. His stats are good compared to his peers. They're not good compared historically to the guys that are at the Heisman table. So what are we doing here? So not only did Rodriguez have the chops to get there in a great Heisman year, he's up against a pretty weak Heisman class, and he can't even get the invite. I think it's a slap in the face to the league. Like, I'm starting to get a little sick of this slaps in the face to the Big 12. Like, give me a break. Like, this dude, if you don't think he's one of the best players in the country, I don't know what you're watching. I don't remember, other than Manti Te'o, watching a defensive player that seemed to be in on every dadgum play of a game, because that's what it feels like watching Rodriguez to me.
Do you think he'd be in if he played in the Big Ten?
Absolutely. In the Big Ten or the SEC? Yes. 100% he would be in. We can ask Fitz that question. I'll bet you he agrees with me. Yes. If that dude's playing for Alabama with the exact same stat line, he is 100% a Heisman finalist. There's no question. And Tech is the number four team, right? So it's not like they're not good. Like, they're a top team this year. It's stupid. And they're one of the top defenses. It's not him out on an island playing for, you know, like a lot of the times you can pile up tackles if you play for a bad defense or a team with a high flying offense that keeps the defense on the field all the time. Tech's led by their defense. It just doesn't make any sense. And it's silly and ridiculous. But I'll tell you this, they'll use it. Boy, they found the perfect coach with the perfect attitude for that fan base, didn't they? Like, it is us against the world. Tech's always had that. Like, that's always kind of been their thing, even back to the Mike Leach days, kind of us against the world. They got it right now, and they're embracing it. And I hope he blows up. How much do you – you don't have ties to that region like I do. Obviously, I'm fond of – I've made no bones about that. Like, I'm pulling for him hard. I'd be pulling for him hard if it was any Big 12 team. But how much do you get into let's go Big 12?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I definitely do. After the Texas and Oklahoma stuff is when it really started for me. And I was like, oh, really? Like, you're going to, you know, take a crap on the Big 12 like that? Like, yeah, I'm a Big 12 guy like that as well. So
people have been taking craps on the Big 12 for a long time. Missouri and A&M did it. Nebraska did it. I'm all in with the Big 12 in the playoff this year. Wish BYU could have got in. BYU wasn't winning a national championship, though. Tech could. Right now, Tech. Indiana.
Thinking cool.
Tech, Indiana. Who are you that taking in that
awesome.
Game?
Oh, I don't know who I'd take in that game. That's a really good game. I don't know.
I think I might take Tech. Ohio State's the one that scares me because they've just got all the obscene talent, and I know Indiana just beat them. But I've heard scouts say Ohio State might have like 9 of the 10 best players in the country on their team.
When was the last Big 12 champion?
National champion?
Yeah.
Texas with Vince Young, I think. Jeez. Am I forgetting one? Oklahoma got there a couple times. Texas got there at least one more time.
That's nuts.
But I think, Vince Young, Texas.
That's crazy.
I think.
That sounds right. It was definitely a Texas school. One of the Texas years, I mean.
2005 Vince Young.
2005.
There you go. Man, I remember every bit of that. I'm going to talk about a legend. We're talking about Heisman candidates. We're going to put Julian Sayin in the room, the Vince Young and Jaden Daniels. Put Jacob Rodriguez on that stage. That's just another slap in the face to the Big 12. It drives me. God, it makes me mad. That's why they should take their TJ, that's why they should take their auto bids, because that ain't going to change. Like, it's for history. Like, I know I appreciate how much Brett Yormark is trying and what, but we've got a long history that tells us that's never going to get the respect. Take the auto bids. I still think that's the right thing to do. All right. Coming up this hour, we got Tim Fitzgerald. Up next, we've got PJ Glasser in. Should be a lot of fun. Want to say thank you to Crestview Country Club for being a great supporter of the program. It is holiday party season, and they can offer you up a lot of different ways to have a holiday party. They also, this time of year, can offer you up some great deals on membership. If you're on the fence, if you're waiting, this is a good time of year to do it. So give them a call. Tell them we sent you here from Sports Daily. They have memberships that include golf. They have memberships that don't include golf. All kinds of different things that maybe you didn't even know you could be in the market for. So give them a call. Tell them we sent you here from Sports Daily. Again, PJ Glasser is next. We will get his take on tonight's game. What should we be betting? And then we'll have a little more time to dig in on the NFL a little bit. We can ask him about that MVP conversation. It's Stafford and May leading in the clubhouse right now. So we'll have that. And we'll also have Tim Fitzgerald. I don't know how much by the time you guys talked to Fitz last week, Klein hadn't been officially hired yet. So we'll have that. We've got the contract details for Klein that we'll go through with Fitz. We haven't even talked about that yet. Feels like a fair contract. I think K-State did a nice job with that one, to be perfectly honest. A nice, nice tip of the cap, but not overindulging a little bit. And of course, you got to leave room for two or three raises if he does have success. So I think they did a nice job there. That's all coming up this hour. It's Sports Daily here on a Thursday. All Brockton Cleland. We're coming right back.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. It's about getting the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. And to find candidates who match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. Stop struggling to get your job post even seen on other sites. Give your job the best chance to be seen with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. They help you stand out and hire quality candidates who can drive the results you need. Sponsored Jobs boost your post for quality candidates so you can reach the exact people you want faster. Join the 1.6 million companies that sponsor their jobs with Indeed. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help get your job the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
This holiday season, choose gifts that feel thoughtful and practical with Omaha Steaks. Whether you're hosting or gifting, they deliver the world's best steak experience, and it makes you look like you planned way ahead. They've got USDA certified tender steaks, juicy burgers, comfort meals, and tons more. Gifting Omaha Steaks is honestly one of the easiest wins. Everything arrives beautifully packaged, super convenient, and the quality is unbelievable. Their filet mignons are some of the most tender I've ever had. And the variety means you can personalize every gift. Plus, orders placed by 6 p.m. Eastern ship same day. And everything is backed by their 100% guarantee. It's holiday gifting made simple. Save big on gourmet gifts and more holiday favorites with Omaha Steaks. Visit omahasteaks.com for 50% off site-wide during their Sizzle All the Way sale. And for an extra $35 off, use promo code T-Bone at checkout. Terms apply. See site for details. That's omahasteaks.com, code T-Bone.
Okay, take it easy. We're going on the air.
This is Sports Daily on KFH. And now, if you're looking for the best props and games to lay your money down on from BetMGM, here's KFH's betting insider, PJ Glesser.
All right, welcome in, everybody. Back to Sports Daily. PJ Glesser with us here. PJ, glad to have you with us. A Thursday night football game. It's not an elite game by any means, but it is a divisional game. And I do think Tampa's an interesting team. Are you fired up about Bucks Falcons here to start things off this week?
No, I'm actually going to the Capitals hockey game tonight, which kind of tells you my interest in the football game. Next week, we get Rams and Seahawks, though. So it's worth the wait. The fact that we got Lions-Cowboys last week, which was pretty good. Rams-Seahawks. So, look, I mean, it's a big game for Tampa, right? Same record as Carolina in the NFC South. These teams played earlier this year. Atlanta probably should have won that game. I think for me, what I most want to see is the receiver distribution amongst Tampa tonight, because Evans is back, McMillan is back. So what kind of workload do those guys get? But then also, I think Ibuka could get going again. Godwin, I'm interested to see what he does. That's what I'm looking at. Emeka Ibuka tonight, you guys, his receiving total is 46.5, which I think would make sense if Evans wasn't playing and McMillan wasn't playing. Now that those guys are back, I think it's going to free him up again. He had two touchdowns against Atlanta when these teams played all the way back in week one. So I don't really have any thoughts on the side or the total, but I think you're getting a nice price here on Ibuka, and I don't think necessarily the books are adjusting for the fact that Tampa's a lot healthier in the receiving room.
PJ, let's come back here to Chiefs Kingdom. It's panic mode, if you couldn't tell. Obviously you're not around here. It is. It's panic mode, definitely. You talked about last week that you're going to take the Chiefs until they've got the E next to their name, and they are real close. If they lose this one, I think that they do have the E next to their name. What's your thought? What's your read on what the Chiefs are doing, and what's your read on Sunday's game?
So I'm all in on the Chiefs still, boys. I think I bet him to make the playoffs at like plus 420 or something like that. It probably won't happen. But again, if it does, I just want to make sure I'm a part of it. I actually do like them again this week against the Chargers, but it's more so because I think it's an awful spot for LA, who's coming off a short week. They got to travel from LA to Kansas City, overtime game. And they're just beat up, right? They suffered another injury on the offensive line. Herbert is just getting smoked every time he drops back to pass. So I think the Chargers are going to be very conservative. They're going to try and lean on Hampton, who's now back and healthy, and Vidal, their two running backs. And I think this is finally the game where Kansas City gets going a little bit offensively. I don't know the exact stat. Maybe you guys do, but I think unders at Arrowhead are like 19-3 in their last 22 or something absurd like that. So, recently when the Chiefs have played at home, they haven't been very high scoring games, which makes me a little nervous when the total's 41.5 and you got to lay that many points. So maybe just play it safe, bet them in a money line parlay with them being minus 275 at BetMGM. But I could only bet the Chiefs this week because I just think it is a brutal, brutal spot for the Chargers. They already beat the Chiefs back in week one, so tough to beat a team two times in the same year. Everything's pointing me towards Kansas City minus the 5.5.
I know I'm with you, PJ, and I don't like it. 5.5, when we watch the Chiefs do what they've been doing, it's like, oh, now great. Now you're going to give them more points. But I'm with, if Chris Jones plays the way he did against Houston, against that offensive line, I think the Chargers could have a nightmare. Like, if the Chiefs are still motivated, and I think they will be until it's officially done, if you get that kind of game out of Chris Jones, that their offensive line's so bad right now. Like, it's bad, bad.
It is.
That's Patrick Mahomes ain't Jalen Hurts either. Like, that's I'm with you as much as we want to pull our hair out right now around here with the Chiefs. Let's look at a couple other big time games. I'm curious, your Ravens, boy, the Bengals are pesky, aren't they? They kind of blew it against the Bills there with that last interception. Now they're kind of eliminated. They weren't technically last year. I tell me if you agree or disagree. Like, if you can guarantee me that they're motivated with Burrow still, I like them getting the points at home against the Ravens right now. Not, then you kind of love the Ravens.
Yeah, I actually do like the Ravens this week under 3 at -2.5, just because the way that the AFC North has been going this year, as soon as you think you have something figured out and as soon as you think the team is going to win, then that team ends up losing games, right? So after the Steelers won last week, now it's looking like they're set up pretty good to win the division. Wouldn't shock me at all now if the Ravens won on Sunday and Pittsburgh loses to Miami at home. But, you know, when these two teams played on Thanksgiving, the Ravens turned the ball over 5 times. They abandoned the run with Derrick Henry. He only got 10 carries. They've lost 2 straight divisional games. And the Ravens, you guys, are just a much better team on the road than they are at home. And it's been that way for the last couple of years. They're 3-5 at home this season, but they're pretty good on the road. They're 3-2. So, and, you know, some of those games they play without Lamar. He looked like he's starting to get back to his old self a little bit. He started to do some Lamar things against Pittsburgh. So I think he's getting a little healthier. And I think the Bills reminded us that Bengals defense is still pretty bad. So, yeah, again, same thing with Chiefs Chargers. You know, it's tough to beat a team 2 times, especially when you're seeing them in, you know, a span of 3 weeks. I like the Ravens better on the road. You mentioned how deflating that loss was for Cincinnati. That kind of crushed any hopes they had of making a run to win the division and make the playoffs. So this is kind of a must win for Baltimore too. We're just talking about the Chiefs. Ravens got to win this game. So I like the Ravens -2.5.
PJ, Jacob and I have been, we do a TV show that we record this afternoon where we pick some of the like top 6 games and stuff like that. We've been texting back and forth about these. You just convinced him. I just got a text that said, he's right. Switch me to Ravens. He's right. Yeah, he's right.
You're right.
So you have that influence on us, I guess. We'll keep going down the spreadsheet that I've got here with one that a lot of people are going to be entertained to watch, potentially the Philip Rivers game. They're getting 14 points. What the heck is that?
What do we do with this game? Here's what I'll say, right? From a betting standpoint, a couple weeks ago when Minnesota went up to Seattle with Max Brosmer, right? Seattle was laying 11.5 points in that game. Even with Philip Rivers starting, I still like the Colts offense with Rivers better than I do the Vikings offense with Brosmer, because at least the Colts have Jonathan Taylor. They also have Tyler Warren. They have certain guys who you necessarily don't need the quarterback to move the ball down the field. The strength of Minnesota's team is their receivers and Justin Jefferson. And if you don't have a competent quarterback to get him the ball, they really struggle. Now, we know Seattle's got a terrific defense, probably the second best in the league behind Houston. We know what a tough place that is to go play. I don't know. When the Colts a couple of years ago, guys, when they hired Jeff Saturday and everybody was making fun of them and they thought that would be a train wreck, they went to Vegas and they took care of business. And I kind of get the vibes that, like, if Rivers plays and everybody's making fun of them for it, like, they're going to be a little bit competitive in this game. And as we were talking about, Seattle plays the Rams on Thursday. Like, it's impossible not to look ahead to that game, especially when your opponent might be a 44-year-old quarterback, right? So it's a lot of points in the NFL. I don't think I'd end up playing it, but for everybody that's in, like, their, you know, NFL pick'em pools every week where you got to pick every game, I just think it's a little too inflated. I can't get over the fact that it was 11.5 with Brosmer, and now we're 14 with Rivers, you know, because again, the Colts still have Jonathan Taylor. They still have a good defense. So I'll take Indy at that number and just hope and pray that somehow they cover.
We're seeing quite a few big lines this week in the NFL. Maybe it feels like maybe a little bit bigger than normal. 2 that sort of stand out to me right now The Cardinals getting 9.5 points in Houston against a great Texans team, but not a great Texans offense. And then in what looks like it's just going to be a miserable weather game, like 10 degrees, the Browns getting the hook, the 7.5 at Chicago. Either of those dogs interest you at all?
Both of them, actually. Those are my two favorite. Those are my two favorite bets of the week. Arizona, I love because Houston's trending in the right direction. We can all see that their defense is playing out of their mind. But I love these kind of games, you guys, when Houston has won three straight games as an underdog by more than a field goal, right? Buffalo, they were 5.5 point dog. Against the Colts, they were a 3.5 point dog. And then against Kansas City, that line closed at about 4.5. So Houston, when they're a dog, they can lean on that defense. And now they're a 10.5 point favorite. So it's like, do we really trust the Texans with that offense, Jacob, that you alluded to lay 10 points now? You know, it's one thing when they're a dog getting all the points with that defense. Now they gotta lay 10.5 against the Cardinals. I don't know if CJ Stroud's ever laid that many points in his life as an NFL quarterback. So now that we're at 10 at some spots, I do like Arizona. And then I definitely like the Browns plus the points against the Bears as well. And it's the same kind of thought process with Chicago, where before that two-game stretch against Philly and Green Bay, we were all doubting how good the Chicago Bears were. Well, they beat the Eagles, and now we're starting to see maybe more that was more Philly than it was Chicago. And then they go to Green Bay, and they don't cover. They were 6.5 point dog. They lose by 7 in that game. But I think more of us were impressed with how they fought and that game coming down to the wire. Guys, keep in mind, this Bears team, like less than 2 months ago, was a 3.5 point favorite at home to the 2-win Giants. They were a 4.5 point favorite at home to the 3-win Saints. And now they're 7.5 at home to the Browns with that defense, with the Niners upcoming, the Packers upcoming, and the Lions upcoming. Like, they got some big games upcoming. I just think we're kind of all forgetting, like, how we viewed this Bears team before this two-game run. The point spreads in some of these games, and now they're 7.5. So, yeah, it would only be Cleveland for me in that game against Chicago.
I've seen some Shador Sanders fans on social media saying that they should just go ahead and play Dylan Gabriel in this game because it's going to be -20. We'll get Shador back the week after. We don't want to put him out there. That's going to be miserable. Moving to some primetime games. The Monday night game is one that you look at, you know, without context. You're like, oh boy, Dolphins, Steeler. I don't know who's watching this thing. But in the playoff race, this is a really big deal now all of a sudden.
Big deal. Dolphins they're playing good football. They're getting hot. Again, the competition hasn't been great, but they're playing a lot better. I could understand betting them 3.5, you know, because it's going to be a low scoring game. Probably. I can't get there with Dolphins money line though. I mean, we just like, these are the kind of games that two and the Dolphins lose, right? It's a big game in prime time on the road, outdoors in cold weather. Like this is when we all look to fade Miami. These are the kind of games where we talk about why you can't take Miami as a serious contender. You can't bet them when they go play in cold weather cities. Like, they just lose these kinds of games. I don't think the Steelers are any good. You could certainly argue that maybe the Dolphins are actually the better team, but given the circumstances and just where the game is being played and the fact that it's Monday Night Football and all these factors, I can't trust the Dolphins to win. So my favorite bet, again, like, I think a Steelers-Chiefs moneyline parlay, really solid bet this week. I think that's probably your best bet. 3.5, I mean, it does feel like the line probably should be 3, the fact you're getting a hook. I could see maybe the Dolphins covering, but I feel the best about the Steelers winning that game.
Are the Cowboys in a smash spot, TJ? PJ or and TJ? PJ, are the Vikings really that much better than we'd seen them for so many weeks? Like, did we finally flip a switch? Because if we didn't, it feels like the Cowboys are in a smash spot at home.
I think I'm going to stay away from this game because I'm concerned of how the Cowboys' defenses look the last couple of weeks. It felt like they were turning a corner. They make the trade for Quinn and Williams. Their pass rush was getting better. The secondary was playing better. And then they played Kansas City and Detroit the last 2 weeks. And obviously, two good offenses, two good quarterbacks, all those sorts of things. But they haven't looked good. So You're going up against McCarthy, who's looked pretty bad for much of the season. And I think it should be a good matchup for Dallas with the way that Flores blitzes and sometimes leaves his corners on islands, especially against Pickens with his ability in the one-on-one, Lamb, Ferguson. Dallas should exploit these matchups. I'm concerned now about how their defense has looked the last couple of weeks. It feels like six is too many points. So I'm staying away. But if I had to bet it, I probably would. I probably would lean Dallas. I don't have a good feel on that game.
PJ, let's talk some college football. We got one game. You got anything for the troops this weekend? Army, Navy?
I do not. I mean, generally in this kind of game, you always want to take the dog, right? Six is a lot of points. We know the unders are usually the play. I mean, people are just going to blind bet that, and I can't argue against it. It's very profitable. I will say, Army is, when you think about these two teams and you think about the wishbone, you know, like that's what Army still does. Navy, it's a little more unconventional. They're going to run a little bit more shotgun than you would expect. They're going to throw the ball a little bit more than you would expect. So just be careful about betting the blind unders in this game. Since Brian Newberry has taken over as head coach for Navy the last couple of years, they have scored more points in these games. You know, like the Air Force Navy games have been a little bit more high scoring. So I would rather bet Army plus the points rather than betting the total and betting the under in this game. But yeah, if I had to make a bet, I would take Army plus the points.
All right. Did we miss anything, PJ? Anything else? We know you love the Cardinals.
You want to talk some Shocker basketball, PJ? You got anything for that one?
We don't have
all the how are you guys looking? How's the team playing?
Talk to us in probably about 3 weeks.
Can't tell. They're really good sometimes, and sometimes they blow games. But they should blow threes.
I will tell people the bet right now is Houston to win the title at 14-1. I think that price is way too high. So
what about Kansas right now if Darren Peterson plays?
Yeah, I mean, look, Peterson's going to be the number one pick. He's terrific. I just don't know if the others on Kansas are good enough right now.
That's the question.
I'm with you on Houston, by the way. 14-1. That team's awesome.
Yeah,
I mean, they're as good as they were last year, I think.
Right.
I think.
And they're doing the same thing they did last year. You know, last year they struggled early on in Vegas. They lost two games, and then they lost two games the rest of the season. So Kelvin Sampson's so good at realizing what his team needs, makes adjustments, and then they're going to go on a tear in Big 12 play.
Yeah, I that would be awesome. I'm good. I was in Hawaii last year for that game, for the championship game with the family. Nobody else cares. So I'm at the hotel bar by myself, having a drink with the bartender, trying to talk to him about the game. And he just keeps shaking his head. He's like, I watch surfing, dude. I'm like, God, somebody be angry with me right now. I'm so angry at this. I lost money on that. I had like futures bets. PJ, we appreciate it. Follow PJ online at PJ Glasser 9. Let's all make some money, PJ, this week. We'll talk again soon.
Let's do it, fellas. Have a good week. I'll see you next week.
There goes PJ Glasser, our betting insider. Always good stuff. Good stuff on tonight's game too. I'm with him. I'm with him on the Bucks. It feels like a pretty good opportunity there for Tampa. They're finally starting to get healthy. TJ, they get Bucky Irving back now. Tampa is Tampa healthy, a Super Bowl contender in the NFC?
I don't think so. I think they lost too many big games.
I haven't seen them healthy in like 2 months. They haven't had Bucky Irving. They haven't had Mike Evans. They haven't had Chris Godwin. They haven't had Jalen McMillan. They have not had their dudes at all this year. Tez Johnson has been a big part of that offense. And it's just like, man, if they get healthy, remember how good they were? We were all talking about Bake as an MVP candidate and all that. I think Bucky Irving being back is a big deal. For that reason, I think tonight's game is pretty interesting. I think that gives it some legs. Like, could they be a contender?
I'm with you in the fact of, like, this is very much a mid-December Thursday night football game that is not relevant to this part of the country. And it's like, man, is there any college basketball on tonight?
Well, look, you've got betting and you've got fantasy football playoffs starting this week.
I'm just saying this is no longer the September Thursday night football game where it's like, oh, we got Falcons Bucks tonight, let's go. Now it's like, yeah.
Good game at that point, right? And you thought that would be a good one. And next week, Rams Seahawks be one of the games of the year. That'd be awesome game on a Thursday night. And last week, Lions Cowboys was good. All right, we got Tim Fitzgerald coming in next. We have a lot to talk about with Fitz. We'll do it. It's All Brock in Cleveland. Don't go away.
And now, digging deeper with the teams you follow, it's another Sports Daily Insider interview on KFH.
Sports Talk on KFH, presented by Paramount Plus. Count on Sundays all season long with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. We do welcome in now, Tim Fitzgerald. Fitz, welcome in. He caught your breath yet?
That's the perfect way to put it. No. In fact, I slept like 4 hours last night just thinking about everything that's been happening. That has been the most furious postseason work in my entire career. I thought it was going to get a little downtime, then someone has to go and retire, and all hell breaks loose.
I assume you're talking about it. It's gotten busy because of the Delta Devils being in town on Monday, maybe the women's basketball game at 11 a.m. yesterday. It's been a pretty normal week, you know?
Oh, yeah. And by the way, I think the three of us should try out for the Delta Devils.
Yeah. I have eligibility, believe it or not.
Well, then we're in. We're probably in the starting lineup, in fact. They were not good, and I'm glad I didn't go to the women's game because not only did they lose and look bad, it was elementary school day. So The entire arena was filled with screaming children.
That's true.
That's stuff of nightmares.
How many 6-7s did you get?
They didn't get there, but they got to 6-6-2-7, I saw.
They renamed the video board, the 6-7 board. I don't know what's going on with our children. I'm worried. They've made something up out of thin air and they think it's great. It scares me.
Look, it fits. Just remember, whenever you want to panic, we've all been giggling at the number 69 for 30 years.
Nice.
So, this isn't the first time.
That's a good point. But kids, don't do 6-7. The results might not be pleasant.
Yeah, that's not good. All right, Fitz. So let's talk about the new. We can backtrack a little bit because we did get news yesterday. The contract details for Colin Klein are out. I think this is a pretty good deal for K-State. Honestly, for 4.3 a year. Not anywhere sniffing like the upper echelons, but the reason I like it is because if there is success, it builds in a lot of easy raises.
Which is the way it should be. Not that I would complain about the $4.3 million.
Right.
I don't know if you can say K-State got him on a hometown discount, but I think he wanted the job. And it's probably a very easy negotiation. So but like all contracts now, for coaches, everyone has the ridiculous buyout. And it's the greatest trick agents have played on universities is getting a full buyout for failure. But, I think it's just a matter of time. Either Colin succeeds and that contract builds and builds and builds, or he doesn't and goes the way of everyone else. But I think he's going to be successful. He's got too much emotional investment in this.
Yeah, the one of the bigger things that, you know, to dig into in the contract that everybody is across the country because of, excuse me, the state of college football is the buyouts and the payouts. If he leaves or if, you know, they decide to fire him. You think about what just happened with Brian Kelly and what just happened with all these other coaches that gotten fired and governors calling for AD's heads and everything of that nature. It's a pretty, reasonable number, I think. It's like 75% guaranteed. So that's, 16.1 million, basically, if something were to happen. What's your thoughts on that side of it?
That's much better than what a lot of contracts are. I mean, you get yourself in a position where you can't fire the guy. It's just too expensive. And I don't know why any business would do that to themselves. And unfortunately, that's probably the next phase of everything going on in college athletics. We're going to see the former coach player model of ADs go away, and we're going to see business people in there, because this is now big business about negotiating contracts and maximizing profit, and you need to have that edge in this industry now.
Yeah, it's tricky. So outside of money, though, Klein is officially announced now. Like, he's there. We all knew it, but now we know it for real. How much leash do you think he needs to have here? Because we just saw a statement rumbling about Klein winning 8 games a year, getting him in a Big 12, getting him a Big 12 championship within the last few years. And for a lot of fans, that was approached as that's not good enough. And I've said from the beginning, well, you better hope that Klein does. Like, does he have more leash, do you think, with the fan base because of his background with the team and the school program?
I'd like to say yes, but I would have thought the same thing for Chris Klieman, to be honest. After, you know, I mean, winning 8, 9, 10 games every non-pandemic year, you would think 1-6-6 season wouldn't cause this backlash. But I don't know where the fan base is now on this, but I think because of who he is, he will get some extra grace that others may not. But, you know, any more in this environment, fans are right about this. If you stink one year or aren't as good as you expected one year, you can reinvent yourself in the off season, and that's not true of what it used to be in college football.
Fitz, I think one of the biggest questions to go forward that everybody keeps asking us is, you know, what happens to the players that were on the roster? You know, we've seen some, you know, kind of post stuff on social media. Nobody's going to come out right and say anything, it feels like, at this point of the game. We've seen the guys go to the portal that have gone to the portal. You know, do you think there'll be more? Do you think there'll be a lot of retention?
I think there will be a lot of retention, but there certainly will be more. That's one of the subtle points about not playing a bowl game is, you know, technically nobody's in the portal. It doesn't open until January 2nd. You know, guys are just announcing their intention that come January 2nd, they'll be in the portal. By having bowl game prep, you're forcing players that are 50-50 to decide whether they're staying or going. And I think that was another layer to this they wanted to avoid. Let Colin Klein and his coaches get in front of these guys before the portal opens and make it clear that they're in charge. So I don't know, but I think this actually will help retention. I think some players that maybe were going to leave are now excited about the prospects of playing for this guy. And just look at the recruiting class. Those guys knew before they signed, and they all still signed. And they seem to be very fired up about it. So Colin just has a little, you know, a level of respect out there in the college football world.
He does. Does he have enough respect for Avery Johnson to be the quarterback for Kansas State next year?
I believe so. I think we haven't heard from Avery. He's liked a lot of tweets that you would think would indicate he's staying, but you just never know. I mean, the end of the day, Avery's a commodity that might be worth a lot of money at some school. It doesn't matter if you or I or anyone else understands that, but for that school, he might be the answer to their prayers. And if they throw enough money, what happens? But so far, he's been loyal, and I know he and Colin are really tight, so I'd find it hard to believe he'd leave.
There you go. We'll switch over to basketball, Fitz. Obviously, just the one game during the week. A little bit more coming up, but it's finals week, so a little bit of lack of college basketball. But we haven't, you know, had time to catch up with everything that's happened around the basketball program with all of the football news that's broken. They went on a 4-game losing streak, and you know they broke it against, you know, beating up on the worst team in the country. But what is the state of the basketball program right now?
It's a good question, and I don't think any of us quite know, because they went from being really good to really bad. It's just like they fell off a cliff. And, yeah, they kicked the crap out of a really bad team. Did, you know, shooting the ball well, kind of having your way, being able to do anything you needed, help them. Yeah, maybe offensively it built some confidence. But until this team decides we got to learn how to defend, they're going to get their butt whooped in the Big 12. And the problem now is with 4 non-conference losses, do they have the ability to win enough games in what is by far the best basketball conference I've ever covered. This is just outrageous how good some of these teams are and how top-heavy the conference is, and yet the middle of the conference is still pretty good. They'd be competitive in most other conferences. So I don't know if K-State can get off the mat from this start.
Well, then think about it as a ceiling. Is their ceiling good enough to be a tournament team in this league, like the best we've seen of them? Obviously, they need to capture it consistently.
Yeah, I would say this. This was a topic on our K-State Insiders podcast last night, and that's up now at the site. I think because of the strength of the league, if you can get to 17 wins, particularly going to Kansas City, but I don't even necessarily think you need one there, you're going to sneak in the field. It's going to be like the SEC last year. Remember, they got 12 out of 16 in or something ridiculous. Playing those teams at the top, and I'm telling you, the top six or seven in this conference are really good. Certainly the top six are top 20 programs. Your strength of schedule and all your analytics are just going to skyrocket. So I think, asking K-State to get to, 17 wins before they go to Kansas City is a lot. But this team's capable of flipping it on, but is there enough wins out there, reasonably to be expected?
Fitz, a win that would help them a lot with an at-large bid is coming up on Saturday. They're going on the road to Creighton, a team that's currently 15 spots higher than them in the KenPom. It could end up being a quad one win. I think it would be if you get it done on the road. I'm not sure what that says. Are they good enough to go get a win there?
Well, Creighton's struggling a little bit like K-State. But I don't know. Brother, I'm so confused by this team. They went from being an offensive juggernaut that might outscore you on any given night to the kids who couldn't shoot or defend straight. And it's really hard to watch. Creighton's down a little bit this year, but I guess this is one of those wins that would look better and feel better than actually how it impacts your postseason probably.
Fitz, what do you guys have for us at GoPowerCat.com? I would imagine a mountain of content.
Yeah, another assistant coach hot board coming up here, I think, tomorrow. Kind of zeroed in. We got it. Trey Scott, the new GM, I believe, is on the ground. I think some of his coaches will start arriving. I don't expect official announcements until the school can process everything, but we'll be on top of that. We got a podcast to record, the Clint Stewart Show, coming up before the game in Omaha. Just a lot hopping over there.
GoPowerCat.com. Fitz is the guy. Fitz, we appreciate it. Rest
Thank
up.
Thank you, boys.
Maybe we won't have any nuclear bomb stories coming in the next week. What a week, man. I don't even know what to make of it. It's as wild a week as I can remember.
I keep telling people the thing, too, of all this is that there's going to be so much that's going to follow this for months. We still have, they're going to name a general manager. They're going to name an offensive coordinator and a defensive coordinator. And if Avery's going to stay.
They need to infuse the offense with some playmakers, immediately. Yeah. No Dylan Edwards.
This is a months-long story. This is going to be a top of mind up until Big 12 media days, potentially.
Let's go. Colin Klein. Who can you get in there? Who do you know? We'll see. All right, that'll do it for us here on Sports Daily. Don't forget Thursday Night Football tonight on KFH. Falcons on the road facing the Buccaneers. You can tune in at 6:30, 97.5, 1240 KFH for that NFL action. Listen online at kfhradio.com. Download the free Odyssey app and search for KFH. That's it. We're good. Tomorrow we'll pick a bunch of – we'll have to pick six NFL games tomorrow.
We're not going to pick Army-Navy?
We could pick Army-Navy. If I send you guys that list and I forget Army-Navy, remind me and we'll put it on. We'll do that. We'll have some fun on a Friday, as we always do. And we'll finally be able to get you ready for a weekend of college basketball. Finally. Come on now. Let's get our priorities straight here. We got to play some. Get them back in action. That'll be a fun weekend of that. Thanks to Tim Fitzgerald. Thanks to BJ Glass. You can go to the Odyssey app and listen to both of those interviews. If you missed either of them, for Max and TJ, I'm Jacob. We'll see you tomorrow.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
This holiday season, choose gifts that feel thoughtful and practical with Omaha Steaks. Whether you're hosting or gifting, they deliver the world's best steak experience, and it makes you look like you planned way ahead. They've got USDA-certified tender steaks, juicy burgers, comfort meals, and tons more. Gifting Omaha Steaks is honestly one of the easiest wins. Everything arrives beautifully packaged, super convenient, and the quality is unbelievable. Their filet mignons are some of the most tender I've ever had. And the variety means you can personalize every gift. Plus, orders placed by 6 p.m. Eastern ship same day. And everything is backed by their 100% guarantee. It's holiday gifting made simple. Save big on gourmet gifts and more holiday favorites with Omaha Steaks. Visit omahasteaks.com for 50% off site-wide during their Sizzle All The Way sale. And for an extra $35 off, use promo code T-Bone at checkout. Terms apply. See site for details. That's omahasteaks.com, code T-Bone.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detecttheSOS.com to learn more.